Shalom, Rav Osai. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Pei. We are at the top of Daf Pei, and we had talked about in the Mishnah again. We're talking about items. What is the shear that a person who takes out different items is going to be chayiv for on Shabbos? And again, the general klal is something that is useful, something that is legitimate, something that is worth taking out. So again, with the example of Mishnah we are just operating on right now is Dio Kidei Lechtov Shtei Osios. That how much ink are you going to be chayiv for taking out on Shabbos? Enough to write two letters. So again, we're not talking about whether you're going to be chayiv for kosev, which mistama you're going to be. According to the Ritva, you can also be chayiv for kosev, but here we're talking about hotzos. So the Gemara says, Tana with under Abraisa, shtei osios bidio, osios, or shtei osios bekulmos, shtei osios bekalmarin. It doesn't matter how the ink is kept, it can either be, it can either take out the ink itself, like in a cup, or you can take it out in a quill, or you can take it out in an ink jar. It doesn't matter how it is taken out. The amount is the same. By Rava said, hold on one second. But do all those three things combined? Let's say you have half a shear in each one of them, right? Os achas. If you have enough to write one letter, bidyo. Os achas bekulmos. Os achas bekalmarin. Mao. Do those chatzi shear items combine if they're in different containers, shall we say? Like you have a quill and you have an inkwell. Do they combine? The Gemara says, teku. I'm not 100% sure why you will not be chayav for taking out the quill or the inkwell. But in terms of the dio, in terms of the ink, so then we are going, you are going to be chayav only if it's enough to write two letters, and we're not sure, right? Leo Anavi will tell us whether those things combine. Okay. Oh, okay, now I take it back. You know, Rashi does say over here, where's the Rashi? Right, it's a Rashi, I take it back. Rashi, three lines down, yeah, Dibramaskal Osachas. So he does say that Mishum Kulmus L'Mechayev Aleh, you're not going to be chayev for the quill or whatever it is, or the ink well, or the, you know, whatever, the cup containing the ink, Mishum Shu Tofel L'Pachos Mikashir. Right, it's a Tofel. It's secondary to the item that you're taking out, right? If you want the ink, so the quill is not the Iker item. I'm going to go to Mishnah later on. Right, if you take out food that is less than a shear in a kli, you're potter even for the kli, because again, it's, the kli is just the echatimsa, it's just what the item, you know, it's just the method of holding the item that you actually want. So that's why you wouldn't be chayav for those pieces. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Amar Rava. Rava says, Hotzi shtei osios b'kosvan kishu mahalich. Let's say you take out enough ink to write two letters, and then you wrote them when you were walking. Right? We know we mentioned earlier in the Masechta that to be chayav for Otsa, you need an akira and a hanacha. You need to take it, to pick it up in Rishus HaYachid, let's say, and to put it down in Rishus HaRabim. So the Rava says if you write with the ink while you are walking, so that is, what's it called? That is chayav. He says the writing is the hanacha. When you write it on the wall or whatever, so that is the hanacha and you're going to be chayav. V'amar Rav, and Rav says as well, hotzi os achas v'kosva. Let's say you took out enough ink to write one letter, and then you wrote it. V'chazer v'hotzi os achas v'kosva. Then you did it again. So you are potter because those writings do not combine. My time, what's the reason? Be'ibna de'afka l'basraisa. Because the moment you take out the second one, the basraisa, the second chatzi shear, you're already missing a shear for the first one. Rashi says because when you write the ink on the wall, right, you go back inside and you come back out with the other half, chatzi shear, the other one letter amount of ink, so the first chatzi shear, which is on the wall, has already dried somewhat, and that shear, therefore, the ink is lacking a little bit. Right, I wasn't aware of this, actually, but now I guess it makes sense. When you write, let's say outside for sure, and the ink dries, so it shrivels up a little bit. So you're missing a shear in the first one, so therefore when you take out one and then one, and you write one the first time, so then the ink is going to dry a little bit, it's a little bit less than a chatzi shear, so therefore you won't end up getting to the shear of shtei osios at the same, in the correct amount of time. Okay, Vamar Rava, Hotzi Shte Grogros Achas Veinicha V'chazer V'Hotzi Chatzi Grogros, sorry, Hotzi Chatzi Grogros Achas. If you take out half a Grogros, again, we said a dried fig, a Grogros, is the basic shear for being chayv for Hotzah. So let's say you take out a half a Grogros, Veinicha V'chazer V'Hotzi Chatzi Grogros Achas, you took a half, and then you took out, and you put it down, and then you took a half and out, and then you put it down. Rishona Nasa Kamisha Kolta Kelev. The first chatzishir is as if it was taken away by a dog. Oshen Israfa, or it was burned. Upater, right? It doesn't combine. Gemara says, "Ay v'amai." Why is that true? Ha mancha, right? It's still there. Right? It's still resting there. You took it out. You put it outside on a rock or whatever it is in Rishus Rabim. It's still resting there. Why? Why shouldn't it be gone? And Rashi says, "Kevin de helim echad." Since it's one helim, one forgetting that it's usur or that it's Shabbos. So that should be enough to move mitzarfe to combine them, right, and make it into a full malachas hotzah. So the Gemara says, "Hachikama." This is what it means to say: "Vim kodem veigbia rishona kodem hanachas shnia." If you came and then you picked up the first chatzi grogeres before you put down the second one, so then nasis rishona kamishin ikleta oshenisrael butter. Then the first one is if it does not exist. Meaning if you uproot the hanacha before you put down the second chatzishir, so then the first chatzishir does not combine with the second and you are potter. Velma Rava, another statement of Rava, hotzi chatzi grogeres. You took out a chatzishir, veinicha, and you put it down. Vechazer hotzi chatzi grogeres. And then you came outside with another chatzishir. Vehevira derech aleha. And you walked by the first chatzishir with the second chatzishir in your hand, so then chayiv. Then you're chayiv. Right? You didn't even put it down. Right? You took out a half a grogeres, put it down. You went back inside, took out another chatzishir, and walked past it. You're going to be chayiv. Gemara says v'amai halo nach. Right? You didn't put the second one down. So Gemara says kigon shehavira toch shlosha. No, the case is if you took the second chatzi grogeres and you passed within three tefachim of the first chatzi grogeres, and we have a concept that we learned more famously by Sukkah, there's a concept of lavud, that they are considered connected. Anything between three tefachim is considered connected, and therefore they're going to combine to create enough of a shear to be mitzdarif, and you are going to be chayef. Again, the concept of lavud usually comes by in if you've ever seen the sukkahs that have like the fabric sukkahs that have straps that go around, or even made out of other materials. But basically, if you have a piece of fabric going across, instead of a wall, yeah, the canvas sukkahs that the walls are not necessarily so strong. So what do they give you? They give you also these straps that you tie really tight around the base, around the metal poles, and you have them within three tefachim of each other. And if those straps go up to 10 tefachim, which is the minimum shear of a sukkah wall, so then they will combine if they're less than three tefachim apart from each other. So that's the same idea, that within three tefachim, these two chatzi grogros are going to combine. So Gemara says, one second, v'ama rava toch shloshal rabbanan tzorech hanacha al gabi imashu. According to the rabbanan, you need a hanacha. Okay, so what's going on over here? So this is a Gemara we're going to get up to in a couple of weeks. What is it called? So, the machlokas is Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim about throwing an item. The phrase here is kluta kamashu hunchol damya. One second, hold on. Yeah, if you throw something, do we consider it resting in the rishus that it was thrown through? Right. Let's say you're in Manhattan and you're in your you have apartment buildings face each other. So your friend lives across and your windows are open. He has a good arm, so he throws a ball from his apartment into your apartment across the Rishus Rabim. So the question is, Gemara is going to discuss if you're going to be chayiv for that, even though it didn't come to rest, right? It didn't stop. There was no hanacha in Rishus Rabim at all. So, Rabbi Kiva, says that counts, that will be chayv for otsa. It's even though it flew through the airspace, it's going to be chayv because it's as if it rested. The Chachamim say that it's not true. That the item, the ball, has to actually rest in the Mishasar Abim for you to be chayv. But Rava says here that if we're talking about Toch Shlosha, if you're talking about Lavud in terms of that, the principle of combining the two, right, Grogros, even the Chachamim require it to as we said, to have some sort of Hanacha on the ground. So Rava himself, and Rava, if Rava quotes that, so see that he holds that as well. So if you're carrying the item, the Chatzi Gurgeres, even though it's Lavud to the other Chatzi Gurgeres, there's still no Hanacha. How in the world are they going to be combining? So Gemara says, Lo kasha kamuzori kan be mavir. Says no. Gemara says the fairly obvious answer, and you know, an Ian Shear would figure out what the Avimino was really, but the case over there, and I think it's in Hamatznia, that is that when you throw it, so yeah, fine. So the Rabbanim requires some sort of hanacha, but if you're walking past it, holding it in your hand, so that is enough. The fact that the item is resting in your hand, that is enough of a hanacha. In this case, you're going to be chayiv. Okay, there's a lot going on here, but let's go right there. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa. Hotzi chatzi gogeres v'chazer hotzi chatzi gogeres. Right, you took out a chatzi shear, then you went out took another chatzi shear. Behelam echad, this is what we referenced before. If you did it in one helam and one forgetting, whether it forgot it was us or forgot it was Shabbos, so then you are chayiv. B'shtei halamos, but if you did it with two different halamos, meaning the first time you walked out, forgot it was Shabbos, did a chatzi shear, and you remembered it was Shabbos. Okay, you went back inside. Then you forgot it was Shabbos again and walked outside with the second chatzi shear. So those two forgettings were separated by Yediyah in the middle, that you knew it was Shabbos in the middle, and therefore they do not combine. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi says, Be'alam echad b'shus echad chayef. That Rabbi Yossi says, if the helim echad, even if it was within one helim, if you, meaning one period of not realizing it was either Shabbos or it was Usser, you're only chayiv if you took both pieces to the same Rishos HaRavim. But the Shtei Rishuyos, if you took it to two different Rishuyos, that's obviously more common if you're going inside, yeah, two different Rishos HaYachids, but either way, if you took it into two different Rishuyos, then you're going to be Potter, they do not combine. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, V'ushe yesh chiyuv chatas b'neihem. That's only if there's a chiyuv chatas in between the two Rishos HaRavims. Of a karmelis, but if you're going through a karmelis, so then that is not considered separate enough. Again, if you're talking to two different Rishus Arabims, again, let's say the case where you're going out into Rishus Arabim, so according to Rabba, if it's separated by a Rishus HaYochid, so then the two Rishuses that you took them into, that is going to separate and you're going to be Potter. But if the two Rishus Arabims are separated by a karmelis, so that's not considered separate. That is one rishus, and you're going to be chayiv. Abaye amar afilu karmelis. Abaye says no. Even if a karmelis separates between the two rishus or abims, then that's still considered separate. Aval pisla, but a piece, but just a pisla is a block, right? Rashi writes eitz shochev l'rochvo shel rishus or abim, like a long block of wood. That's on the width, that's on the side of the Rishus HaRavim. Maybe if you've seen, you know, let's say nowadays the equivalent would be like those concrete kind of pieces that signify where you should park your car, right, up until where you should park your car, right, you put the tires all the way against it. So, like, you can imagine that. So that is not enough to separate between two Rishus HaRavim. But Avrava Amar, but Rava says Afilu Pisla. Even if the Rishus HaRavims are separated by this block of wood, what Rashi says, so that is separate in Rabbi Yossi, in the corner of Rabbi Yossi, and he's going to hold that you are Chayev. And the Gemara says again, just to get, if you need a visual, so at least I have my Gemara over here. There's a little diagram. You have a bias, you have a Rishus HaRavim, you have a Karmelis or a Pisla in the middle, you have another Rishus HaRavim, and then you have another house. So if you can imagine that these are the two Rishus HaRavim separated by either this Karmelis or the Pisla or whatever. As the Rava L'tameh, the Gemara just points out that Rava agrees with himself. This is Rava's Shita, that a Pisla will separate between Rishusim, or is significant, is not considered part of the Rishus Arabim. Damarava, Rishus Shabbos, Rishus Gitin, Damya. That the Rishusim, the I guess, the areas in terms of Shabbos are the same thing in terms of the areas for Get. What is going on over there? So the din is, the Gemara says in Gittin, that if Rachman Atzlan, a couple is getting divorced, the husband needs to give the wife a get. The wife has to be able to accept the get. But the wife does not have to actually get the get in her hand. She can also get it if it comes into her rishos, if it comes into her, let's say, her courtyard or her house or whatever it is. So let's say the case there is that the husband he's so disgusted with his wife, Rachman Atzlan, he throws the get into her courtyard, right? She got one house, he got another. He throws the get into her chatzer, and it lands on this pisla. Let's say she has a pisla, this block of wood, this block of concrete, or whatever it is. So Rava holds that just like Shabbos is just like Gittin. That by Gittin, that does not count as the wife's chatzer. And therefore she's still not divorced. And Rava says the same thing by Shabbos. You see that the pisla, according to Rava, is significant enough to not be part of the rishus that it's in, and therefore it's enough to separate between the two rishus harabims, at least according to Rava's opinion of Rav Yosef. Okay. Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Fine. Two dots. Now we're going to quote a bunch of the items again in the Mishnah, just clarify it. So, kachol kedei lichol ayin achas. And that kachol is blue eye paint, usually blue, at least in Gemara's examples, right? Kachol, yeah. So enough to color one eye, put makeup on one eye. The Gemara says, "Ayin achas halo kachli." Right? Women don't paint one eye; that looks really weird. So Rav Huna says, "Shekein tsnuos kochlos ayin achas." Actually, there are tsnua women who will cover their face, and if you can imagine nowadays, right? We used to masks during this corona situation. But they had these kind of mask type things, and they would only reveal one eye. Fascinating. That we think that that perhaps the some sects of Judaism, the women will walk around in burqas, and people think that's crazy. Well, here's a makkah in the Gemara that they used to walk around even with more than burqas, then burqa plus an eye patch. They used to come. They would only cover one eye. It's Rashi. If you get snuos, shaholchos mutafos, they would walk out all covered. Mutaf, usually we are familiar with that language by Atalis, right? It's atev patzitzis. Ve'im magalos el ayin achas echad liros, right? And but these women, right, being cognizant of the part of their body that was exposed, right? They would still put makeup on that one single eye, and therefore putting enough makeup for one eye is chashuv enough to be chayev on Shabbos. Gemara says Meisvei. One second. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Kochol. If you're taking out this eye makeup, im lerefua, if it's for refua, so then kidei lechokol ayin achas. In the kashe, but if it's for makeup, b'shtei ayinayim. That's for two eyes. So Gemara says Targum Hillel Brei Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Kitanahu beironios. That's only talking about women, not ironios, not in the ear, but in the Rashi says Benos Kfarim, right? Ironis apparently is a small city, so Kfar is a village. So apparently the villagers, where there were much less people, they didn't need to be as tzanua because there were much less people walking around. So they would wear makeup on two eyes. Okay. Shava, what about wax? Kedelitein alpi nekev katan. Well, that's in parentheses, but we'll read it. Sure. Tana kedelitein alpi nekev katan shal yayin. On a small hole of a barrel, meaning of a wine barrel. Rashi says that those were smaller. Right? The wine barrel holes were smaller than the oil and the honey barrel holes. Okay, so it's a smaller share. Devik delitim brosha shavshav, glued to put on the top of a board. Tana, what board? Delitim brosha shavshav shavrof kanashel tsayodim. The trapper's boards. That were, Rashi says, Moshiva Neser Katan Barosh Kana Venoshin Alav Devek Veha Of Yoshev Alea. Talking about bird trappers that would put some sort of glue trap at the end of a wooden board. Okay? Zephyrs Vegafris, we talked about That's pitch and sulfur. That's to make a enough to make a whole ton of kadei lasus negev katan. Again, I was talking about the thermometer with the to make sure that's taken care of. Okay. Charsis kadei lasus pikur. Again, we still talk about enough crush. Charsis was crushed brick, enough to kind of mold into some sort of clay to make out, you know, to put around the mouth of this utensil that the smiths used to use. Remember the shear, Rabbi Yehuda Nafish, when one second, Gemara says, hold on, does that mean Rabbi Yehuda's shear is bigger? Right, Rabbi Yehuda had said that enough to make a tripod, or a base for this kur. So Gemara says, I kind of love the shear, the Rabbi Nafish, right? It would make sense that if you're going to make a base, as opposed to putting, you know, a little rim around the kli, so the base is going to be a bigger shear. So why was Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, we find that in Kaimalan, we learned that the Rabbanan had a bigger shear. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer kedei litol hemenu midas min al katan. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, in terms of the rope, all you need to do, right, which the Mishnah said, you have to make enough, you have to take out enough rope to make a handle for a basket. Rabbi Yehuda said, you know, just enough rope to be able to measure a small shoe of a child. That's a much smaller shear. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda is generally a smaller shear. So why would this be a bigger shear? So the Gemara says, Ema kedei lasud pitpit kira ketana. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. When he says, he's talking about the base, he's talking about to lasud, to seal up a crack in the base of this, of the small, of a small stove or a small oven, and that really that's what he's talking about, not the base. He really to seal up a hole or a crack, and that is obviously a much smaller shear. Okay, again, we so the parentheses will just say it's soben kadei litin al pi kur kadei ishal tzurfei zav. That's the same thing with this the psolus of the wheat to make into a cover, again to put around the mouth. To make a lip around the mouth of these this kli that the smiths would use. Tara rabbanan hamotzi seyar, someone who takes out hair, kedei legabel bo satit, another to knead knead clay. Apparently they would knead hair into clay. Okay, I'm not sure. That's what Rashi says. Yafel tit, it was good for tit. Okay, fine. And teeth, lasos bikor, shal tzofei zav, and again, the shear for clay is enough to make this thing around the mouth of the utensil. Sid, kedei lasud, enough lime to smear on the little girls. Tana, kedei lasud, esbuk tana shabibanos, right, to smear on this, on the little finger of young girls. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, benos yisrael shagiu lepirkan. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav explains what's going on with this smearing lime on little girls. So he says there's actually two girsas here, and the Machlokas Rashi tells us in terms of what's going on. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Benos Yisrael shagiu lepirkan v'lo igiu l'shanim, benos aniyim toflos osan besid. So what's going on? So if the girl, according to Rashi, girls who start reaching puberty before their age. That's Rashi says. Right? They started maturing at a younger age. They would be embarrassed, so they would use this lime to remove their hair wherever it would grow. Rashi's Tosos over there says, if you look at Tosos Sheikiu, he says no. That women who are starting to get closer to be of marriageable age, they would use this seed, this lime, to beautify themselves, to make themselves a little bit whiter, to make the skin glow a little bit. So that's. That's what Tosfos says. But okay, either way, there was some sort of beautification use for this lime. And the Benos Aniyim Tofos Osam B'Sid, the poor women, the poor girls would use Sid, this lime. Benos Ashirim Tofos Osam B'Soles. And the rich girls would use Soles, which is, I guess, Soles B'Lav Hashem and Bahin, right? I guess it's flour. Usually specifically barley flour in the Chumash, but it probably means any flour. Benos Malachim Tovlos Osav Shemen Amor, and the king's daughters, the princesses, would use this Shemen Amor. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, by Esther, she shachod Hashem b'Shemen Amor. Right, before a girl would go to Achashverosh, she would spend 6 months anointing herself with this Shemen Amor, which would beautify her skin, make the skin look beautiful, radiant, glow, olive. I don't know whatever color it was. My Shemen Amor, what is the Shemen Amor? Rav Yehuda Bar Chia Amar Sateches. Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Omer Shemen Zayas Shelo Evia Shlish. It was Shemen Zayas made from olives that had not yet grown 1/3 of their normal growth. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer anpikanon shemen zayis shelo yevi shlish. This anpikanon is this same thing. V'lama sakanoso, why do the girls anoint themselves with this type of oil? Shemisir as a seir, it removes hair, umadan basar, and it makes the skin radiant. Okay. Rabbi Bibi had a daughter. This is again a story about Sid. Why is it, the Gemara now kind of like mentions parenthetically, why does it say etzpektana? It doesn't say, you know, to put all over her body. So Rabbi Bibi Havilei Barta, he had a daughter, and Tapla Aver, and he Tapla, or he Letapel means to kind of take care of something. So he put on this seed, this lime, one limb at a time, and Shakoba Dalameo Zuze, and he was able to take for her dowry 400 zuz, which is a tremendous amount of money, because the lime beautified her and made her look more attractive. So Avahu Nachri Shuvisa. So there was a guy in the same neighborhood who saw this and was like, wow, Avilei Barta. So he had a daughter and said, I want to do this also. So Tufla Bechad Zimna, he put lime all over her body at the same time, Umesa, and she died. And apparently it was not healthy. Meaning if you did it all at once. I'm not sure exactly, but I would imagine. Not sure. But either way, apparently it's harmful in large quantities. So Amar, so he said, Kata Rabbi Bibi Labarti. He said, Rabbi Bibi, kill my daughter. And, obviously he was wrong, but I guess that's how it works. Amar of Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Rabbi Bibi Dishasi Shechra. Rabbi Bibi actually drank beer. He liked beer. Fascinating. Rabbi Bibi liked beer, and therefore, Bayan Barte Tafla. She therefore required to be letapel, to deal with his daughter, needed this treatment. Is it Rashi over here? I think Rashi says, because the beer actually leads to, what's it called? To hair growth. I can't find it. I can never find this. These Rashi's on the side, on command. Yeah. Oh. So this, in my defense, it's not. It doesn't have a bolded Dibra Maschil. If you look at Dibra Maschil, Shakalba Dalei Meil Zuze. So at the end, there are two dots, and then it says a Sheichar Mashchir Umar Besayar. That beer causes hair to darken and to grow. And that's actually true nowadays. That's one of the, results of drinking a lot of beer is that the hair grows in a bit thicker and the hair grows in a bit darker. Okay. Anyway, that's. Not that, the Gemara needs science's approval, but that's still recommended for people who have difficult time with hair. Anyway, so Rav Nachman said that Rav Bibi, so they drank a lot of beer in his house, so his daughter needed this procedure to kind of remove some of the hairs that were unwanted. So Anan, but us, the Lusha Sinan, Shichra, Lobay, and Bintan, Tafla. So our my daughters who don't drink beer, they don't need any of this these procedures. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei Lasud Kalkel. Again, we had in the Machlokas in terms of when you put in how much lime do you need to take out. It's Rabbi Yehuda says enough to put on a kilkel. Rabbi Nechemia said enough to put on an dipi. So Gemara says my kilkel, my on dipi. So Amarav Rabbat says tziado vas tziado, the temple and just underneath the temple. Okay, the member of the shear of the Rabbi Yehuda Nafish, that implies that the shear of Rabbi Yehuda is greater. Chaimalan the shear the Rabbanan Nafish, right? Again, same thing. I thought Rabbi Yehuda's shearim were smaller than the Chachamim. So Gemara says you're right. Zuta mid Rabbanan, but Nafish mid Rabbi Nechemia. Right? It's less than the Rabbanan. Right, the Rabbanan said, what did the Rabbanan say? It said Ever Katan. Is Ever Katan Sheva Katan? It's Bekatan Sheva Banos. Right, the Chachamim required to be able to enough to anoint a limb. Rabbi Yehuda requires the temples, and then Rabbi Nechemia requires an even smaller shear of beneath the temples. Okay, Meisvei, I ask you a question. 1 second, I'm Rabbi near into Rabbi Yehuda, bechavod with the Rabbi Nechemia beitzas. Beitzas hasid. 1 second, Rabbi said that I agree with Rabbi Yehuda. If it's chavut, if the lime is dissolved, meaning if it's been diluted in water, so that's the appropriate procedure for it, to put it on the forehead. But to put it on the temples. But in terms of beit asid, this is a different type of lime that was made into it was clumpy. So you see that those were the two different types of limes that were used for different parts of the body. If you tell me that they're both used for the temples, so both of them are used the dissolved, more looser type of lime to anoint the girls' temples. So andipa. Now we're talking about an andipa. That's a barrel, Rashi says, klecheres velo shnei dodim. It's a barrel of pottery that has two, spigot. Two openings, two places to pour out. If you can imagine, like a barrel of beer, so a barrel of wine, so it has two faucets on it, two spigots. that's what you need. That's what Rabbi Nechemia is talking about. The amount of seed you need to seal that up. Maskevla Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, "One second, Chiyadam Osam Ma'osav on Paros. What is a person is going to throw out his money by sealing up his barrels of wine with seed, because the wine will what's it called? Right? Rashi writes Hefshed L'Shum Yayin B'Chli Stam the seed V'Yayin M'Macha Asid V'Yotze. The wine will. I'm not sure of the science about this, but I'm sure it's correct. The wine will make the seed dissolve." Something about maybe the acidity in the wine will make the lime dissolve. So a person doesn't seal up barrels of wine with seed. So Ella Amar Afghana Shnosos. We're talking about Shnosos. They used to mark different measurements. Kiditan, like the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a Menachos. Shnosos Hayuba Hin. They used to have a big, Hin was a big, almost like a shovel, not a shovel, a big measurement, a big cup, not a barrel, I don't know, let's say a basket or a barrel, a small barrel that you used to use for the nisuch hayayin, to pour wine, right? Certain korbanos had a requirement they had to bring with nisuch hayayin. But they didn't have, they had different shiurim, as we're going to see in a second. A par was the most, and an aisle and a keves had different shiurim. Right, Rashi says a par had chatzi ahin, which is 6 lug, and an isle had 3 hin, and a kevis had a fourth of a hin, which is the isle had shlishes, was a third of a hin, which is 4 lug, and then the kevis had 3 lug. But either way, they had this big barrel, this big hin type measurement, and they would have lines going around like a measuring cup. How much wine to pour in. So that's really what you're using, that's what andipi is. That's what Rabbi Nechemia is talking about. You use the lime, to mark off how much wine you need to pour in the mizbeach. Because it's not shasu sahibahin, adkan lapar, adkan la'ail, adkan lakevis. Okay. Viboy seima, or my andipi, another answer. What is andipi? Andipa, apuso, which is the forehead. There was a guy who lived in the Galil, came to Bavel. They said to him, "Kum drosh lanu b'maisim merkava." Give us a drosha about maisim merkava. Maisim merkava is this totally esoteric, kabbalistic, ununderstandable nevuah that Yechezkel wrote down. It's very, very different. The Gemara Chagiga talks about it most famously, but. It's very, very difficult to understand. So they said, "Oh, you're from the Galil. You must be a Kabbalist or a mystical or whatever. Come darshan down Maisa Merkava." Amr luhu, edrosh luhu. He said, "Okay, no problem. Kedidarish Rabbi Nechemia lechavre. I'll teach it just like Rabbi Nechemia talked about it when we were learning." So this was apparently not such a good idea because of Nafka Ar Isa Minakotel, a hornet, a bee came out from the wall. Umachte beandipi. And stung him in the andipi, which is the forehead. Umis, and he dies. That's the proof that andipi can be a forehead. And they said about this guy, min dile dole. This came about because of him. from Delay, from his own hand, this is what happened to him. Well, I would have argued that they asked him, so he was just agreeing to the request. But I guess he still had enough gaiva, and Akash Baruch was not so happy with him. So that was the end of that. Okay. Gemara, now the Mishnah lists some other items that you are chayav for taking out. Adama, what about if you take out Adama? Not, this doesn't mean dirt. This means dirt that you're going to be making into clay that will, as we'll see the Gemara, we'll see, where is it in the Gemara? Oh, I must have seen it in the Bar Tanura, I guess. All right, either way, it's talking about really clay that you're going to stamp on letters or something. So that's what the Gemara says. Kechusam ha-martzofin. Enough to seal martzofin. Martzofin is sakin ha-usin meklipas eitz godol shenosin behem pragmatia besfinos. Cargo ships, boats, take these sacks, and enough to seal these sacks. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. No, enough to seal just a letter. Just a letter that a person, like a king or a prince, would seal with this clay. Zevel v'chol hadak, if you take out manure or very fine, thin sand, k'dei l'zabel kelach shal kruv, enough to fertilize a stalk of kruv. Kruv is cabbage. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. V'chachamim omrim, k'dei l'zabel kereisha, enough to do fertilizer on a kereisha. I forget, it's a different type of vegetable, but it's a smaller than cabbage. Chol hagas, if you take out thick sand, k'dei liten al melo kaf sid, enough to put in a kaf is a spoon, but here I think it means like a shovel of sid, of lime, and we'll see the Gemara talk about that. Kone, if you take out a reed, k'dei lasot kulmus, enough to make a quill, v'imhaya ava omarusas, and if it was either too thick to make a quill, omarusas was broken, right, Rashi says, soduk, soduk, and harbe, a lot of holes in it. So then, k'dei levashel bo beitza kala shebebeitza, enough to cook the easiest, or the lightest, the quickest cooking eggs. Trufa unasuna beilpas, if it's been beaten and put in a skillet. Okay. So the Gemara, let's get down. Let's finish the daf, Mitzvah Shem. So the Gemara says, al malo kafsid. What is it? What do you mean? Taking, we had mentioned that. This chol hagas, enough to take out, we skipped the first half of the Mishnah, but it was straight down to the middle. Well, we said it's enough to take out this sand, this thick sand, so enough to put in on a shovel of sid, of lime. So the Gemara says, Tana, k'dei litin al pi kaf shel seyodin, to put in on the mouth or of the shovel of a sayad, of a guy who's putting sid, of putting lime, or plaster or whatever on walls or stuff like that. So Gemara says, "Mantan de chol mali le sid." Who is the Tana who holds that chol is mali le sid, is good for sid, is good for lime? So Rav Chisda Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda shita the Tanya lo yasud adam es beso besid. A person shouldn't plaster your house with sid. What is the problem with that? Why couldn't you plaster with sid? So Rashi says, "La'achar churban mishum avela shel Yerushalayim." We have the minhag nowadays to make, you know, to paint it, to leave some of our, you know, one square opposite the door. Perhaps many have the minhag to not finish the wallpaper or the paint that you put on the wall. So the same thing. This is the Gemara that you shouldn't, you know, plaster the wall completely with sid, because zecher l'churban. So that's. That's what the Brisa says. Elim kin irev bo tevin o chol. Unless you mix either straw or right, tevin, it could be straw, or some sort of, yeah, I guess, right, straw is fine. O chol or the sand into the mixture. Rabbi Yehuda omer tevin mutter. If you mix it with tevin, that's mutter. Chol is osir, but sand is osir. Rabbi Yehuda teraxid. Because that makes the plaster stronger. So therefore, that's the Mandamar who says that what are you chayav for if you take out this thick sand? If you put it enough to put into a shovel of this plaster, of this lime, because that is beneficial, it makes it stronger, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rava, Amar Rava says, no, Afilu Temer Rabbanan. You can even say that this is the Rabbanan Shita, because Kilkulo Zeu Tikuno. Because you might have thought that even though the Chachamim say that sand makes lime worse, but that's better for painting or plastering a house, because that's the din. You need to plaster the house. And so therefore, it's considered making it better, and that's why you would be chayev for that on Shabbos. Okay. Kana kedei lasos kulmus. If you have a reed enough to make a quill, tana, we learned the b'risa kulmus, hamagia l'kishrei etzbeosav. How big does the quill have to be? So it has to come up to the knuckles. Excuse me, sorry. The knuckles. Boy, Rav Ashi, well, which, you look at your finger, how many, you have a bunch of knuckles. Kesher ha'elyon or kesher ha'tachton. So the top or the bottom, the Gemara says teku, right? We'll, Mitzvah Shem, learn it when Elyon Ovi comes. V'imhaya ova, if it was, we said if it was thick, if the reed was thick or broken, had a lot of holes in it, so then you have to take enough to cook the easiest of eggs, right? The easiest cooking of eggs. The Gemara says, "Trufa b'shemen nusun b'ilpa tana." Trufa b'shemen nusun b'ilpas. Right? It was beaten. It was mixed with oil, put into a skillet. So Amar Mar Breider Avina Lebrei. So Mar said, Mar Breider Avina said to his son, "Mish melechal beitzer kalamaihi. Have you ever heard what is the easiest cooked egg?" So Gemara said, Amar Lei said back to him, "Biasa de tziltzala." The egg of a dove. So my time out, Mishum Dezutra, because it's very small. What's the reason? It's very small. Ema de Tziparsa. So what about maybe the I think it's Tziparsa is a hummingbird. And actually, the smallest of the birds. But was it the egg? Their eggs are even smaller, right? You imagine that would cook even faster. So Gemara says, Ishtik. So he was quiet. He says, Amar Lei, said to me, the Shmelech Abba. Have you heard anything about this? Amar Lei, he said back to him, Achi Amar Rav Sheshes, this is what Rav Sheshes said, Basis Tarnagoles, it's talking about a chicken egg. Am I Karli Beitzakala? Why do we call it the easiest cooked, of the most easily cooked of all the eggs? Because Shiru Chachamim, because the Chachamim checked, they measured, they figured it out, and said, Ein Lecha Beitzakala Levasha Yotzer Me Beitzas Tarnagoles. The easiest egg to cook is a chicken egg. And even though there are eggs that are smaller, but plop an egg down on a skillet, boom. It's all right if you ever make sunny side up. So it's done in a few seconds. Ma'ishna kol shiru shabbos kegugeres v'acha kabeitza. So the Gemara says, his son said back then, I have a good question for you. So why are we measuring this? But we said that the default shear for taking something out, right, on Shabbos is krugeris, like a dried fig. Here, the shear is enough to be able to cook an egg, or a kabeitza. Kabeitza is bigger than the dried fig. So, Amar Lei said to him, no. Hachi Amar Rav Nachman, krugeris mi beitza kala. No, you don't need to be able to cook the entire egg. Right? The entire chicken egg is bigger than a krugeris. You need to be able to cook a krugeris of a chicken egg. Right? That's the din. You don't have to be able to cook the entire egg, just enough to cook, right, the proper shear from a chicken egg, which is the easiest cooked of all the eggs. Okay, Rabbi Moshe, we'll go right to the Mitzvah Shem tomorrow with a new Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.